Let's dive in today. We're starting a brand new series today that I have been working on now for a couple of months. Really excited about this series, and I want to begin, before we even get into what the name of that series is I want to get into a question that I think is vitally important for us to begin to wrestle with as we start today. What is the condition of your soul right now? And when I ask that question, here's what I'm really asking. Is your soul at rest these days? Does your soul have any sense of peace about it in the midst of your life and your circumstances? Or is there this constant kind of underlying undertone of noise, of unrest, of turmoil going on inside of your heart? You see, when I look around our world, I look around our culture, and even in my own life, I get this sense, right? I discern in my spirit that people are not at ease. They're not at rest. There's a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety in our world. And it's not just those who don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's Christians as well. There's a lack of peace going on inside of our spirits. Now, the definition of peace, if you look up the actual definition, it's a state of calm. So let me ask you, how many of us would say that we are living in a state of calm? I don't think I am most of the time. In the day-to-day, in my job, as I feel the pressures and stresses of that, in my family, as I feel the pressures of being a husband, of being a father, the circumstances that often hit our lives, tense moments, tense situations, right? I don't feel like I'm feeling this sense of calm very often. And so what we do is, I think we all want it, right? Every one of us wants it. We want to be at peace. But what do? We start searching for peace in the things of this world, don't we? And if I could just take a vacation, then I could get some calm. I could get some peace going in my life. Man, maybe if I just do a little Netflix binge this weekend, forget about all the stuff that I have going on coming up this week, I could just get a little bit of peace. I could get some relaxation going, right? And I'll forget about all of that stuff, right? Man, if I could just do something that brings me pleasure in this life, if I could just get a hold of some substances for a little while, maybe that would make me feel better, right? Maybe a little bit of alcohol this weekend, and I can just kind of stop feeling the pressure of this life. We all have the things that we turn to in order to try to give us peace, don't we? And yet, here's what every one of us knows. Those things never deliver, do they? They might distract you from your problems, from your circumstances, from that tension that you're feeling inside of you for a moment. And then it's right back to feeling exactly the same way. It is a vicious cycle, isn't it? Come on, am I the only one, right? We know this. This is the pattern that we find ourselves in, right? And so what if I told you today, and this is my hope in this series, this is why I've been praying about this and excited about this for months. What if I told you that peace was actually possible in your life? What if I told you that 2024 could be the greatest year of peace that you've ever experienced, and that it has absolutely nothing to do with your circumstances, whether they are amazing and you have the greatest year of your life circumstantially, or whether it's the worst year of your life. Because at the end of the day, you probably can't control that. You have some control maybe over that, But there are things that are going to happen in your life this year that you just, you don't expect. You're not ready for. And I'm telling you right now, you can have peace in the midst of that. You can have peace in every single area of your life. That's the promise that our God makes to us. You can have it in your marriage and your relationships. You can have it as you parent your children. You can have it in your job. You can have it in every aspect of your life, in your finances, in this politically charged environment that we're about to head into in 2024. Some of us are already, like, we're feeling the tension of that, the pressure of that. We can have peace in every single one of those areas. And so we're starting a new series today that we're just simply calling Peace in the New Year. Peace in the New Year. And my prayer for you, my church, True North Church, those of you that have been around for a while, you know this. I say this all the time. I love you. I want you to thrive in life. I want you to thrive in your relationship with Jesus. And so as I thought about what's the best way that we can begin this year as a church family, this is it. If I could instruct you, encourage you, challenge you in any way, it would be in this area. To find your peace, to find your rest in the only one who can actually provide true peace and rest. And so I believe this series, this could be a game changer for some people right now, depending on what you're going through. It might be a game changer somewhere down the road in something that you're going to go through. I want to encourage you, if you know someone in your life that you love and care about, who's going through some difficult things, or who you simply just know, right, on the heels of our Bridge the Gap challenge, that you know this could change their life for eternity. Would you invite them to come over the next few weeks as we dive in to this topic of peace? Do we want that for our friends and family? I know we do. I know you do. I know your heart. Would you have the boldness to invite them and to come and to be a part of this? If you're new, joining with us maybe for the first time today, I encourage you, come back. Come back for the rest of this series. Engage with us. Allow the Word of God to transform your life over the next few weeks. It will, if you will allow it. And so on that note, today what we're going to do is we're simply going to lay a foundation. Right? In the coming weeks, we're going to dive into some specific areas where I think we all need some peace in our lives. But today, in order to do that, in order to get to that place, we need to understand some basic fundamental truths about where peace comes from and why, in general, kind of on a macro level, we don't have it and our world doesn't have it, right? Why is it so difficult to find and where can we actually find it? So let's just start on the macro level, all right? Number one, for many people, this is why there's so much turmoil, there's so much lack of peace in the world. For many people, they are still at war with the creator of this world. Let me say that again. Many, many people in this life do not have peace because whether they realize it or not, they are at war with the God of the universe. They are at war with the one who created this world. I want to read you a passage of scripture from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. If you ever want to just see in great explicit detail why the world is in the condition that it's in and what the answer to that condition is, read the book of Romans, specifically the first couple of chapters of Romans. This is what it says. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. He's made it known. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. This is what Paul says here. He says, the God of the universe created this world. It is obvious that there is a creator, that there was something divine. We can see it everywhere we look in the complexities of the world, just in the human body alone. how the universe works in such a way that there's actually life able to be on this planet. I mean, there's just so many things. It's God has revealed himself to all people to make himself known so that there's absolutely no excuse for rebelling against him. And yet that is what we have done. That is what humanity has done. Humanity has rebelled against God. And because of that, we are at war with God. And I think this is something I hear often, and I think it's something that's important for us to hear today, because what I want for you more than anything is if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you are still at war with God, and we'll talk about how we end that war, if you're still at war with God, what I want for you more than anything is for you to recognize that you are, and that you will never, ever have peace while you are at war with the God of the universe. True lasting peace isn't possible outside of relationship with God. We have chosen to ignore the obvious. We have chosen to rebel against him. And until we get ourselves right with him, we will never have peace. Why is that? Why? Because he is the source of peace. Hear me today. Our God, the one who created the world, is the source of all peace. You won't find it outside of him because it can't come from anywhere else. It can only come, real, true, lasting peace. It can only come from him. And so until that relationship is restored, you're at war. I mean, we know this, right? Think about two countries who are at war, right? As long as those two countries are warring, there's no peace. It's not possible. People are going to be anxious. They're going to be constantly worried about what's going to happen. It's only when those two countries come to a place where they reconcile and say, okay, we're going to end this thing. No more. We're not going to fight anymore. That there can actually be peace. And it is the exact same way with the God of the universe. And so the real question is, and this is the exciting part, this is the amazing news today, is that there is an answer to the end of this war. We can't do it ourselves, but Jesus can and did. Let's look at another passage of scripture. Colossians 1, 19 to 22. It says, for God was pleased. Let me just stop right there just for a quick second. For God was pleased. He wanted to. It was his joy to end this war. It says, to have all his fullness dwell in him. Who is him? In Jesus. To have the fullness of God dwell in the man, Jesus Christ, who would be our sacrificial savior. It says, and through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things. So Jesus does on the cross. He reconciles us back to him. He makes it possible for us to have relationship with him again. It says, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making what? Peace. Peace, what? Through his blood shed on the cross. That's how peace is made. That's how we have peace again with the God of the universe. Through the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. We were at war with God. We rebelled against him. Our sin was creating a chasm between us. And what does Jesus do? He completely closes that. When God looks at us, I love this language that Paul uses here. It says he looks at us as holy in his sight. Holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There is nothing that anyone can do to accuse us anymore of anything that we've ever done wrong, because our God has covered the payment. We're good to go. We're good to go now, right? Jesus, in his great mercy, what he does is he takes all that wrath of God that should be poured out on us, and he makes peace with us instead. What an amazing truth today. Those who do not know Christ, this is the sad truth today. And I want you to hear this, because if you don't know Christ and I don't share this with you, I don't know that you ever will know Christ. The sad truth, the sad reality is those who do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior, he's the only way, will never experience true peace in this life. You will only ever experience distraction. And I want that for you so badly. You know, the truth is that other false gods and ideologies try to offer peace in the way that Christianity does, in the way that Jesus does. None of them deliver. So I just want to give you a little bit of apologetics here, just for a quick moment. Apologetics is just simply the defense of our faith, right? Every person in this world is trying desperately to find peace in their life. We're seeking it. We want it. It's why we do many of the things that we do that end up ultimately actually being destructive to our lives. We're seeking peace. And so there, along the way, we've come up with false gods, idols, to try and replace the one thing that will actually give us peace, because we've rebelled against God and we don't want to do it his way. Atheism, let's take that one for a second. For those who don't believe there is any type of spiritual force at all in the world, can I tell you there's absolutely no peace in that? They might think there's peace in that because they don't have to deal then with a God who says you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. So I can just pretend that doesn't exist, or I believe that doesn't exist. And so when I die, there's nothing. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just not going to exist. There's absolutely no peace in that, though. There's not. You want to know why there's no peace in that? Because if I don't believe there's anything beyond this life, I am going to cling to this life to my last dying breath desperately. And I'm going to do everything I can to hold on to it. Because if this is all there is, I don't want to die. I don't want to lose this. And so what you see many people doing in this life is living in such a way that they're freaking out about every little health crisis they have. They're terrified about every little thing that could do harm to them or to their family members. There's absolutely no peace to be found in atheism. None. There's no peace to be found in that. How about other gods? Other false gods that people create for themselves? And there are so many, and it's not just the gods of Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and all of the kind of big false gods that we know. It's the false gods of materialism and idealism, relativism, romanticism. Those are all constructed gods that people have created for themselves in order to try and find peace. In all of those things, what they are, what they all ultimately boil down to is a works-based righteousness. If I do good things, I will be made right with God. And even many Christians still continue to live that way. The Pharisees that Jesus encountered when he was on the earth were living that way. I do the right things, and therefore I am made right with God. The problem with that and what scripture tells us is we'll never be able to do enough right things and good things to make up for the rebellion that we have against God. We can't do that. We'll never make up for it. We need a savior. We need someone to sacrifice themselves for us in the way that Jesus did, right? All other gods say you must work for and achieve right standing. Again, can I tell you? And I don't even know if I need to tell you. I think you know this. There's no peace in that, is there? Come on. If I have to perform, if I have to work my way to right standing with God, it is a constant state of feeling like I just need to do more. I need to do more. I need to be better. Beating myself up every time I do something wrong. There's no peace in that. None, absolutely no peace in that. There is only one who can give you the peace that you covet. It is Jesus Christ. His sacrifice, his blood shed on the cross that frees us from the constant need to perform. It just frees us to simply bask in his grace. The amazing, incredible grace of Jesus that says, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter what you do in your future, if you will put your faith in me as your Savior, stop trying to save yourself, stop trying to look to everything else in this world to save you. It is finished. I completed it on the cross, and you now get to live in freedom. That's peace. That's a peace that you will not find anywhere else. That is the peace that your God wants for you, that I want for you, that this church wants for you. We need to know this. If you're sitting here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus, know Jesus, no peace. Know Jesus, no peace. I really believe it is that simple. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. It's unlike anything you have ever experienced before. Sadly, those who reject Jesus will never know it. And that breaks my heart. And so that's step one. We need to understand this kind of macro level. Why don't we have peace in this world? Why is there so much unrest? It's because we are still at war, many of us, with our Creator. But even after Jesus ends the war, we try and find peace in all the wrong places. We do, right? Let's admit this. Many of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, we still don't have that complete peace that Jesus offers, that God offers. Why is that? Well, it's because we continue to strive to try and find our peace in the things of this world. And what we must understand is that the things of this world offer momentary peace, or they offer a fleeting kind of peace. And really, ultimately, it's rooted in self-indulgence. It's rooted in pleasure-seeking. It's rooted in substances and other counterfeits. It's an illusion. The peace that this world offers is an illusion. And yet for some reason, we continue to chase after those things to be our peace. Right? Only Jesus offers a permanently peace-filled life, which is in stark contrast to the world. Now the question is, what does that look like? What kind of peace does he offer? There's a moment where Jesus is with his disciples in what's called the upper room. He's about to have the Last Supper with them. In a very short time, he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be put on the cross. He's going to be crucified. Then he's going to rise from the grave, and he's going to go back to be with his Father in heaven until the appointed time when he comes back for his people. So he's having this meal with his disciples. He's sharing these things with them. He knows that there's going to be a moment when these guys are going to be like, devastated by what happens to him. And what he wants to leave them with is an understanding that in the midst of that, and in the midst of all that they're going to face as his followers when he leaves, that they can have peace. Jesus wants them to have peace, and he wants us to have peace. And so I love what he says to them in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." And then he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What a tremendous, tremendous promise. And I want us to see a few things about this promise. First of all, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you." He leaves us peace. That's a very simple word, but when something is left with you, what does that mean? It means it's yours. You have it all the time. You have access to it all the time. And this is an important, important truth for us today. Jesus has left us his peace. When he went back to be with his Father, he did not take his peace with him. He left it with us. He gives it to us. And the challenge for us is this. If he's left it with us, it means we have it. Why aren't we experiencing it? It's because we're ignoring it. We're not accepting it. It's being freely given, but we're not taking it. I'm a runner. Many of you guys know that. I've never actually run a marathon before, but many of you have probably run a marathon or at least know about running marathons. In a marathon, every couple of miles, there's going to be some kind of aid station, a water station, drink station, in order to continue to keep yourself hydrated and fueled for that long, grueling race. Every once in a while, I'll watch a marathon and I'll see guys bypass their aid station or accidentally miss their aid station. And inevitably, what almost always happens to those guys is they crash and burn. They had every opportunity to grab the aid. It was freely being given to them, but they did not take it. Jesus has left us his peace. He's giving it to us. And yet it's like we push it away. It's like, nah, I'll find it in something else. I'm gonna search for it, try to get it from something else. He says, no, don't do that. Receive it. Receive the peace that I want to give you. And then he says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Whose peace does he give us? What does he say? My peace, right? His peace. And we need to see this today. His peace is not just any peace. His peace is not the peace of the world. His peace is supernatural. It defies all logic. It is a peace, the word of God says, that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense to have this kind of peace in the midst of our circumstances and trials, and yet that is what Jesus says he gives to us, his peace. I want you to think about the life of Christ for just a moment. Think about just the last moments, the last day or so of Christ's life. Betrayed, beaten, mocked, spit on, and crucified by the very people he came to save. And yet, as you read the account of what goes on in those last moments of Jesus' life, there's a complete calm about him. I mean, they're smacking him across the face. They're calling him a blasphemer. And he's so calm. He has such a peace about what he is about to do. That's the kind of peace he offers us in the midst of our trials and circumstances. Case in point, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was just a man, just like you and I. And yet I love what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He experienced beatings, he experienced imprisonment, he was homeless, and yet listen to what he says. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. You could fill the word in peace there. I've learned to be at peace with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret, he says, of being content, of having peace in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul had Jesus-level peace. That's the kind of peace I want right there. That kind of peace. Jesus says he freely offers that to us. You see, I think one of our biggest problems is that we define peace the way that the world defines peace. And Christians in the house, my church, my people, listen, we're called to think differently now. We're called to look at the world differently. What the world believes about peace is this. In order to have peace, your circumstances, your troubles have to go away. And so what do? We spend so much time trying to make our troubles, trying to make our problems and our circumstances end. If I could just make this thing stop, then I would finally have peace. But we know that's an illusion. We know that's not true, right? Because what inevitably ends up happening another problem comes along. The problems don't stop. You end one, another one comes along. What Jesus says, what Jesus offers is this. It's not about, he says, ending your circumstances, ending your problems. What he offers is peace in the midst of our circumstances and our problems. He offers a way to get through those circumstances and those problems and not lose our minds and not get depressed and not be completely fearful and anxious through those problems. And I think one of the reasons so many people never have peace in this life is because they think in order to have peace, they got to make their trouble go away. This is what Jesus says in John 16:33. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. I won't say that one again. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus tells us this. He could not be more clear. You will have trouble. But then he says this, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He says, you can have it. You can have peace in the midst of your greatest struggle, of your greatest trial, right? What does he say? He says, I don't give as the world gives, right? What does the world give? The world gives an escape and a distraction from the problems of life. Jesus gives a way to handle the trouble and the problems of life. And so here's the bottom line. We don't have peace because our hearts are troubled. We may not be at war with God anymore, but our hearts are still troubled. Troubled over, you name it, whatever it is that your heart happens to be troubled over right now. And there's a reason for that. And so we've talked a lot about the why. Why are we not at peace? But now I want to talk about the answer. And it's a very, very simple answer. And for those who've maybe grown up in the church and you've heard another pastor maybe talk about this before, this is going to seem so simple. It's going to seem so obvious. And yet, it is still such a struggle for us. It is. It's a struggle for me every single day. And yet I'm telling you right now, you want peace? Do you really want peace? Do you want things to change? Do you want things to be different? Or do you want to stay in the same cycle? This is the answer, right? The reason that we are so troubled is that we have a lack of trust in God in the midst of our circumstances. We live in fear. We live in this anxiousness. We do not trust that he has our best interest in mind, that he is good in the midst of our problems, that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives in spite of what we may be going through. We don't trust that. We don't trust that maybe he's doing a work inside of us as we go through that struggle and that trial. But the answer to peace in every single circumstance that you will ever face is this right here. It is a trust. It is trust me. Trust me. Stop trusting yourself. Stop putting your trust in other things in this world. Trust me. Trust me. I have proven myself, Jesus says. I have proven myself by sacrificing myself for you, by promising you an eternity in heaven with me, by promising that I will always be with you, that my peace I leave with you, that my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he says. You can trust me. And so I want to give you something super practical today to walk away with and take this with you into this next week and into this next year and for the rest of your life. If you will do this, you want peace forever and ever that is never taken away from you? Do this. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. There's another translation that says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. And I really love that translation. Those whose minds are stayed on Jesus, who are stayed on God, whose focus is fixed on him, on his promises, they will have a perfect peace, it says. Not just peace. Do you notice the word that they throw in there? A perfect peace, it says. That's different than just kind of your average, everyday, normal kind of peace, that fleeting peace that we get for a moment. This is a perfect peace. Why? Because we trust in the goodness of God. Right? Perfect peace comes from keeping our minds steadfastly on Jesus, stayed on him, right? And so here's the question, how do we do that? Again, it's gonna feel like, it's gonna seem like, oh, that's the classic, typical, Christian-y, churchy answer to this problem. But I'm telling you right now, it's the answer. How do we keep our minds stayed on Jesus? Through his word and through communication, through prayer with him, through constant communication with him. We know his word, we study his word, we allow the peace of his word to wash over us when we're feeling those moments of anxiousness and stress and fear, when we're feeling that lack of peace, we say, no, I'm gonna go to the word of God, I'm gonna read the promises of God, I'm gonna allow that to remind me of who he is. And I'm gonna walk fearlessly. And I'm gonna have conversation with God. That's all prayer is. When I feel that moment of anxiety, I'm gonna go to him and I'm gonna talk to him and say, Lord, I need you right now in this moment. God, fill me with your peace. Remind me that you are for me, you are with me, that I can get through this, that I can do all things as Christ, or as Paul said, through Christ who strengthens me. Through any level of circumstance or persecution that I might face, right? This is where peace is found. I cannot stress this enough. Your peace level is directly correlated to how connected you are to Jesus, to how much time you are spending in his presence. And the sad truth is, the sad reality is that most of us are so busy doing life, doing all the things that we think we have to do, or things that really we know we don't have to do, but we just want to do. We're so busy doing those things that we make no time for this. And we wonder why we don't have any peace. We wonder why we're stressed out. We wonder why we're anxious, because we don't just, okay, I'm gonna be in the presence of Jesus to start my day. I'm feeling the stress coming on. Okay, Lord, I need you right now. Well, let me think about that verse I read this morning. Let me take comfort from that. We don't do that. We don't live that way. It's not a part, active part of our living. And so it's no wonder, it's not a coincidence that people have limited peace. And so I want to leave you with this. This is the main point. This is the main point of this message to walk away with today. Perfect peace comes when our mind, putting our mind on the right place, right? When our mind is off our troubles and on Christ. You know this. I know this. We all know this. If my mind is on my problems, if my mind is on my circumstance, whatever it is, I will not have peace. There is no peace in that. You will never have peace when you are living in fear and you are living in anxiousness. It's just not possible. When our mind is on the problem, no peace. When our mind is on Christ, we will have peace, truly have peace. And so today, this is what Jesus offers us, church. Jesus offers us perfect peace. That's what he offers. My question to you is this. Do you want his peace? Because here's what's normal in our culture. Here's what's normal even amongst Christians. There's no peace. There's no calm. Right? That's the definition of peace. There's nothing but fear and anxiety, and people are stressed out and afraid. That's normal. My question to you is, do you want different or do you want normal? What I want for you is different. I want this Jesus level kind of peace in your life. And so two people, two groups as we close. It starts with ending the war between you and God. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you will never have peace. You will never discover it. You'll never find it. That's where it begins. And what I want you to hear today is this: Jesus loved you enough. God loved you enough to sacrifice himself, to put himself in your place, take the punishment that you should have taken for your rebellion, for my rebellion. He took the punishment for that. And he said, I'm going to give you my righteousness. I will make you look holy to God. I will make you look like you have no blemishes. That's what the word of God says. That's where peace begins. Outside of that, there's no chance. You have no chance to have peace. Oh, I want that for you. Would today be the day that you would just put your faith in him fully, trust him, surrender your life, submit to him as your Lord and Savior and your King? And I can tell you this, I promise you this, he's a good king and he is worthy of submitting to. It is a joy. Every day that I am alive, a little bit longer, it is more and more of a joy for me to surrender and submit my life to King Jesus. Because as I do that, it's amazing. It is amazing how he works on me and changes me and is putting a peace and a satisfaction in me that I've never experienced before. I want that for you. End the war today. Allow Jesus to be your Savior and your King. But then, church, I gotta challenge us with this. Do we trust that our Savior is really trustworthy? Do we trust that Jesus can give us the peace that we so covet, that we are looking for in everything else? And would you just simply be willing to lean into that this week? Every moment you feel anxious, every moment you feel stressed, every moment you don't feel that calm, would you just lean in, open the word, pray to him, talk to him. He says, my peace I leave you. You already have it if you are a believer. You already have his peace. It is his peace he gives you. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. That is what I desire for you, what I want for you. I know that's what your God wants for you. And so I will leave you with this prayer from the Apostle Paul. It says this: may the God of hope fill you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to overflow with hope this week, church. I want you to have so much peace and so much joy that it is overflowing, that your peace and joy actually begin to impact the people around you because they see it, they experience, wow, how are they doing it? How are they getting through this life with that level of peace and joy? I don't get it, but I want it. That's the kind of overflow I want our church to be living in. Amen? Let's pray.